The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crap.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. If you have something, sports, pop culture, political, whatever you might have, if you think you have something of value, give us a call at 312-332-3776. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction, if it has enough value to go into an auction even. And you can also tweet me a picture of an item. At TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. If you have a picture of something, we use that on the show. You'll get in our drawing. Each week we give something away. This week we're giving away a box of 2015 Upper Deck Inscriptions football, which has at least four autographs per box. I pulled a Kevin White autograph out of there. Even it was right before the draft.
I remember that.
Numbered,
yes.
A red autograph, numbered to 99. I knew he was a good prospect. Sold it, got almost $100. And now that he's out maybe for the whole year, I'm glad.
Originally, good timing. Take the money and run, you know?
Right. Originally, I thought, oh, now the Bears drafted him. I wish I had that card, but I think I could be able to pick that up a little cheaper
Absolutely.
Now if I wanted to.
Absolutely. So, hopefully, he'll be able to come back before the season ends, and you know, at least mid-season, perhaps.
I think if they were doing really well towards the end of the year, he'd be probably ready to come back. But I'm not really expecting either of those things to happen. I'm not expecting a real good year from the Bears.
That's too bad, though.
It is too bad.
He's fast.
Yeah, he is. And he looked like he was. Could you have a worse start than Ryan Pace is having as GM of the Bears? I mean, there's some unluck involved to it, but boy, it's got to be all better from here. He's
only
off to
one
a
way
bad
to go,
yeah.
Mr. Pace, and
right.
That's up.
You know, I figure if they don't do well, this will be interesting to see what Cutler does, because if he doesn't do well, they don't do well, well, then they're almost for sure going to want to draft a quarterback like next year,
definitely.
Maybe first round. So it'll be interesting to follow it along and see what happens.
I think the Bears will go as their defense goes. If their defense steps up and can compete and keep them in games, then they got a shot to get some momentum, a couple wins under the belt, and it builds on itself. But
they
if their defense is no good, then, you know.
It was so bad last year, and with all the changes, I just don't see how it starts the season. Well, you never know,
we'll see.
Yeah, I don't see how it happened.
Tannehill just marched down the field on the Bear defense the other night. So
I like Tannehill. I've always liked Tannehill.
You did. Yep.
I like his release. He has a quick release, and he's pretty mobile, so I like him. He's kind of a sleeper in fantasy football.
You're spot on your predictions of young guys doing well. Tannehill, I remember you saying that.
Yeah,
when
that
came
was
out,
one of them. I wouldn't say spot on. I've been
pretty
wrong.
Close to it.
I've been wrong a few times. I still have a box full of Bob Mielacki rookie cards from like 1988.
Who's that?
Yeah, right. He was a pitcher that I thought was going to be good.
Oh, wow.
Hey, which leads me into Bill Huggins. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I heard you were in transit between one spot to another. Wanted to make sure you were there before we started asking you some questions. Okay. Now, where are you? Are you at a show in New York this weekend?
Yeah, we're doing they call it the East Coast National in White Plains, New York. So.
Okay, so if anybody's listening online, how long will you be there today, Bill?
We're there today until about 2 or 3 o'clock.
Okay, very good. Now, I had a couple of people stop by Triple Crown in Naperville. If you stop by T-Crown, Triple Crown in Naperville during the week, and you have an item, and you, whether you're thinking of auctioning it or not, if you just want to know the value of a neat item, if I tweet a picture of it and I talk about that, you also get entered into our drawing. And Bill, a couple guys came in with like big stuff, big collections, and one of them, I put a picture of this up on August 13th. It's Joe from Morris, brought in a, it's probably a 1.5 at best if it's real, but this was a Joe Jackson American Carmel card. Now I looked some of these up, and even one graded SGC authentic with no grade on it, I saw sold for over $3,000.
Wow.
I mean, these are big cards. Bill, is that the type of card where you would want him to send it to you for the potential of the November auction? Almost, you know, if there's any chance, and then you have SGC take a look at it and grade it or authenticate it? Or do you want to look at a bunch of pictures of it first? How would you work it on that card?
Well, I mean, ultimately, we really need the card. You know, the pictures of it are all well and good, but, I mean, as far as trying to give them a rough idea of what it may grade, I don't know what condition it was in. But, if that's certainly something, if he's got that and other stuff, the sooner we can get it and get it back from graded, the sooner we can put it up on the site, because we're going to switch the site over to November probably in about 2 weeks.
Okay,
so.
Well, I'll tell Joe from Morris to bring it in, and we'll send it to you. And if it's not real, then you just send it back, right? And if it's real, then zing, bing,
yeah.
Get the cash register sound going. So, and then another one, Bill. Well, we'll get to the other one later. We don't want to get rid of everything here in the first segment. But the Huggins and Scott August auction, I mean, so many good things in that auction, a lot of good prices on things. There was that 1922 World Champion New York Giants team sign ball with Christy Mathewson and John McGraw on it. Went the high bid on that was 10 grand on that,
wow.
Baby Vince. That's
nice.
Yeah. Christy Mathewson is one of the tougher signatures.
He died young, didn't he?
Yeah,
after World War One, he came back and he was sick or something.
Yeah, I think he got gassed in training for World War One and died at a relatively young age. Isn't that the story of Christy Mathewson, Bill, that you know?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah. He of the top first five guys that were elected to the Hall of Fame, he's by far the toughest autograph, you know.
Yeah, so if he's on anything, there's real good value to that. John McGraw's you don't see a lot of John McGraw stuff either.
No, he was a much more prolific signer than Mathewson was, for sure, though.
Right, and lived a lot longer, too. Christy Mathewson was one of those guys, I think, even then, like when he was pitching, I think he was kind of like a poster boy for Major League Baseball. Like he just seemed like, I think he was a college guy, if I remember right, and I think that he was very popular, a handsome man, as Hawk Harrelson would say. Oh, that was a good-looking man. And real popular. And I think, you know, everybody was pretty – it was pretty shocking when he did get sick and die at a young age. And he was a great pitcher. His popularity is carried right along.
He won 370 over 370 games.
Yeah, awesome pitcher, without a doubt. Then also in the Huggins and Scott August auction, the 1948 Leaf – complete PSA graded 98 card football set, number 19 on the registry, with an average grade of 5.301, sold for $7,500. I got a call from a guy yesterday who said he has a bunch of nice 1960s stuff, and he's like, and he was talking, he said he has a lot of mantles, and he's thinking of auctioning this stuff, Bill, but, he also goes, now, is there any value in football cards? It's like, oh, yeah. If you have nice, the high-grade vintage football stuff, that's doing better and better. Don't you see, like, football just compared to, like, 20 years ago has really picked up quite a bit, Bill?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, years ago when you were at shows and somebody asked, you know, do you have football cards? You're like, what?
Yeah, yeah, right. And now
and then it trickled down from that to basketball and hockey, you know, and then non-sport. And,
yeah.
But all that stuff has really, really picked up. I think there's just far less of it out there than baseball. They just made so much baseball, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And from a football standpoint on the newer products, it's good because the rookies, they get drafted. They're playing. They're all right there in the sets. You don't know how soon they'll get injured or how long they'll last because of the injury factor in football. But it's like it's not like baseball where it's harder, where guys get drafted. It's a few years a lot of times before they're up playing. And, you know, it's harder to collect baseball. Football's easy. Basketball's probably the easiest because you can tell quicker. Usually, yep. How good a basketball player will be. Usually,
with baseball, you got to hurry up and wait. You know?
Yeah, that's, right. Because yep. You never know. That's then, right. If it's a hitter, can they just hit the weaker pitching, or will they be able that's to right. hit the really right. good pitching? Yep. And then some even stars don't hit the really good pitchers. They only do well off the mediocre major league pitchers.
Unless you're guys like Carlos Correa, who just started off amazing in the minors and
kept going.
Over. Yep.
You know, I just was looking at those stats. I like to do that last 30, and I like to keep the recent prospects who have just made it into the majors in mind. Carlos Correa, last 30 days, still doing really well. 300 batting average. 414 on base percentage, which is awesome. 7 homers, 18 RBIs, 15 runs, 5 stolen bases. I mean, the guy, he's like a young A-Rod. I mean, he really is. He might even maybe a little faster, maybe Ranger, absolutely. Not quite at the power, but he's a power hitter. So I didn't realize how much power he had.
I got a shot to win that league. I picked up Correa and Schwarber in that same league that we're in, so I'm
up
there. I got a shot.
You're hitting the last couple of months. You got Donaldson.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got
Schwarber
some guys.
Yeah, Carlos. Yep.
Really doing some big time hitting, which we have time now. Okay, Bill. Here's something. This is a Chicago thing. You can nap for a little bit here while we're talking about this. But in the 2014 baseball draft, the White Sox had the 3rd pick, and the Cubs had the 4th pick. Well, and I don't know if these two guys would even be available 3rd and 4th if they did this draft right now, but let's say they're available. If you're the White Sox number 3, the White Sox pick Rodon, a lefty who's been hot and cold. He'll have a good game. He'll be wild. He's been off and on, but you can see he has really good stuff.
A lot of talent, high-end
lefty
talent.
Starting pitcher. Maybe not as good as Chris Sale, but he's got talent where you can say he might get, you know, fairly close to that at his best. Or do you do what the Cubs did, number 4, and you got Schwarber, this lefty hitting, awesome looking hitter? If you're the White Sox, which do you do? Do you stay with Rodon or you do Schwarber? When I first thought about it, I thought, boy, you got to do Schwarber. But then thinking about it, I don't know. Those lefty pitchers are tough to come by, too. And look at how Jack Peterson got kind of found out here by major league pitchers where you got to learn to adjust as a major league hitter. And I noticed even in this White Sox series when the lefties were throwing breaking pitches to Schwarber, he wasn't looking very good on it. They intentionally walked Fowler yesterday to get to Schwarber, and even Hawk was like, oh my god, when I saw him setting up inside, I was like, thinking, oh no, oh my god. But they gave him 2 breaking pitches, I think, didn't look good. It looked like they give him another breaking pitch. I think you've got him. They give him an inside fastball, and he just ripped it for a hit.
Yep.
But, I mean, he's going to learn to have to adjust.
Well, if
to
you look
those
at those two guys and what they've done this year in the majors from the White Sox and Cubs standpoint, Schwarber has been much more valuable to the Cubs than Rodon has been to the White Sox.
For this year, so far.
And then even from a fantasy perspective, certainly Schwarber has helped lead teams like mine up near the top.
Right.
So,
if you got, what has he played, about a month and a half
something
now?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, and he's been really solid.
So now Schwarber is the more valuable player, I think.
And will they spot anything? Oh, right now, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
But who do you pick in that draft thinking long term? I think I'd probably pick Schwarber. I think I would, but it's not.
I think you're a smart guy.
I don't think it's a lock at all, because I do think that Rodon is going to be a really good starting pitcher.
And if he does that starting next year, comes to close to sale like numbers, then yeah, you're right. Then maybe it's a little closer. But for now, clearly Schwarber's
well, clearly so far this year, he's played better, without a doubt.
And he's playing for the
Dodgers. But it's not about this year for 2 months. That's
right.
Things, you know, the guys get hot and they come and go.
I gotcha.
So, Bill, you're awake. Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, HugginsandScott.com. The number there is 301-608-0355. Phil from Highland, Indiana on Twitter says, picked up a PSA 1967 Topps baseball set. Card six or higher, sell as a set or break the set, Bill. And then he says, love the show. Well, we love you too, Phil. Anybody who loves our show.
We love them all.
Bill, what do you do with that? You keep them all together as a set? I guess it depends how high some of them are. But
I would think as sixes, you'd probably keep them together. If you had eights or better, you could make a fortune breaking that thing up. But sixes, I'd probably, you know, in that range, you're probably going to do better off as a whole set. Somebody will like a really nice X-Men set, all graded,
Yeah, and I'm wondering where he is on the registry. Phil, if you have registered that with PSA, tell us what rank you are on the registry. That would have some say in whether you would break it up. And how high are some of your Hall of Famers? Like, if you have all of them six or higher, but the Mickey Mantle's a nine, then, you know, of course, wouldn't that do better then, I guess? And then you could buy a cheaper Mantle, maybe, to fill in with the six set. I think I'd break that Mantle out if it was a nine and auction that individually. Well, it's time for a short break here. We've rambled on through the first segment already. My wife goes, you can ramble on about anything. Oh, you know,
show.
I've heard that from other people. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're here to take your questions about the value of your collectibles. 312-332-3776 is the number, and we're giving away an Upper Deck Inscriptions football box to one caller. If you tweet me an item at T Crown Tom, a picture of an item, we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. If you come in during the week to Triple Crown in Naperville and I tweet a picture and talk about it on the show, you get in the drawing. Or if you email me an item and I tweet a picture of it, which we got one of those. I ramble on so much and I don't always get to everything I want to
really
get to.
It's really time. You don't ramble.
Well, here was an email I got from Justin, and I posted a picture of this on Twitter. Bill, I'm wondering if this is something, I think this might be an auction item for you. He had a 1965 program of it. Look, I guess it was a Republican fundraiser held in Chicago, and it was signed by Barry Goldwater and William Miller. It was Goldwater. Miller ran and lost for president in 1964. But it was also signed by Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, who signed Dick Nixon at the time. I guess that was in between his VP and president, so he was signing Dick Nixon at the time. Do you think those four, with two presidents and a guy who ran for president and his VP candidate, would that be a good auction item for you, Bill?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I'm thinking that's hundreds, that item.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially with Nixon and the Reagan on there.
Yeah, so Justin, if you want to bring that in, and we'll send it in for the November Huggins and Scott auction. They'll get it authenticated. If you have things that you need to get authenticated and or graded, you want to get them in quick as you can. so they have time to send it out and get it authenticated and graded and still get it back in and make sure it's authentic, you know, for the auction. James from Joliet's on the line. Thanks for waiting. James, what do you have?
Hey, no problem. I really just had a question.
Yeah.
I know you remember my drones and stuff that I brought by. I've been out for about a year. I'm planning on trying to get back in, and I'm looking to either just outright buy a 9.5 Jordan rookie, or my other option is I want to maybe go after a sealed box of the 86-87 Fleer.
Whoa, a sealed box.
That'd be 30,000 plus, you know.
Well, the last Jordan PSA 10, I just saw one end on eBay. It sold for, I think it was 18 grand. So, I mean, wow. They've gone up a lot. This was a PSA 10, which usually goes in the neighborhood of a BGS 9.5. The Jordan rookie stuff since 2 years ago has really... This is James, who was at T-Crown a couple of times. It had the Jordan autographs. Okay, yeah, sure. How you doing?
With the 16 auto and then
right.
Box and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so you're thinking of getting a rookie, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting back into it, like I said, and I kind of want to go big. I know there's risk involved with the unopened box, you know, but if I happen to pull multiple, like you said, if one of them's a 10, then I'm good. I don't really, you know, I know the cards aren't the greatest as far as, you know, how they were cut, this and that. I mean, they're not as bad as, like, the 81 Topps football or anything like that.
But there's a lot of things in there that if you do get them in, I mean, if you're thinking of getting a box to open or to leave it sealed, if you're thinking of opening it, hopefully you'd get a couple Jordans and hopefully they'd be real high condition. But there's other cards in there, even like the checklist. Or the checklist in a high grade. There's some things that are there. You look at the population reports, you know, on BGS and PSA and, it's kind of amazing how hard it is to get high grades in some of them. Bill, what would you recommend for James? Going for an unopened box or just trying to get the high grade Jordan and just buy it outright?
Well, James, depends on whether you're a little bit of a gambler or not.
I mean, I am. If I'm looking at like $30K for the box, though, I mean, I'd have to have a number in my head. Where, like, worst case scenario.
Yeah, 30 to 35,000. Yeah, somewhere in that range is what you're going to end up paying. But, gosh, generally most of the boxes came with three Jordans. They were in, and they're in order, the way those packs. If you get a true box that hasn't been touched from the factory, they just go right down in order. You'll get the A's, you'll get the C's, you'll get the J's, and they're packed right in order. You'll know which pack you got the Jordan in.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
so you should put three Jordans in the box, generally.
So I guess that's the risk that you take. That's only you can figure that one out, James. But let us know what you do.
All right, Tom. I might need your help locating one of them too. So
okay, Bill, do you have one coming up in the November auction? An unopened box of 86 Fleer basketball?
No, we don't. We have a next year, the second year box, the 87.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe. Maybe somebody out there has one and knows there's demand for it. Maybe somebody will consign one to the Huggins and Scott November auction now, knowing that there's people out there looking for them, and you're looking at probably 30 grand if you do sell. Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
I knew a guy that had a sealed case of those in the early 90s, had it in his basement. And I forget what year it was, but I think it was in July where we had an incredible rain. With like 15 inches of rain in a 2-day period, his basement flooded and it ruined the case, and I don't think he had insurance on it. Do you believe
terrible.
That one?
That's terrible.
Oh, that makes me sick to even think about it.
I saw an unopened box at the National, so they were asking about 30 to 35, like Bill said. So if anybody is really seriously looking for a box, I think I have the guy's card still.
Oh, good.
So,
it must have crossed your mind at least.
I bought one pack at the National and, you know, yeah. came up to empty, but
well, didn't you
it
get
was
a,
cool.
a checklist?
I got a checklist. It, that
you
got to
look
okay
that
condition.
Over.
Yes, yes,
oh, it's
yes.
not, you don't think it's gradable?
It's okay.
Okay,
you know?
Probably not gradable.
But it was
then.
Fun to open
yeah.
that. It was so much fun.
Now, speaking of that, Bill, and the callers here will get to you in a second, but I got to Vince pulled out of the 2015 Allen and Ginter baseball. I don't know if you know what these rip cards are, but Vince got a Brandon Belt rip card, numbered
yes.
to 50.
Yes.
This is almost like having another pack that
right.
you have to decide
yes.
to open.
Yes.
Okay, this card by itself sells well, roughly $100, Bill. But if you rip it open, you could get a card that's $10 or $20. You could get a one of one. You could get something much more valuable, like a low numbered autograph or whatever. So guess what, Bill? Guess what? Is Vince going to sell it unripped or is he going to rip it? What's your guess, Bill?
Oh, he's going to rip it.
You
rip
know that.
City. We'll hear next week what he got.
I could not sit on that and just try to get a profit by selling it. I got to open it
yeah,
up. You
yeah,
know?
You got. So. We had another guy who Pat got one in the shop. And we talked him into ripping it, and I think he got another rip card inside and actually made
nice.
Money by
nice.
By opening
yep.
it. So you can yeah. do better, but just to see it, it's like would you hold a 1967 pack?
That's
no,
right.
you know.
That's right.
Bruno from Geneva is on the line. Thanks for waiting. Bruno, what do you have?
I have a Sammy Sosa, when at the time I was going to make work a lot of money, game-worn jersey. It's got the tags on it. It's got a certificate of authenticity from the Cubs
oh.
that it was signed in their presence, but it doesn't confirm that it was game worn. And I've been communicating with a few people in the last few months, and I wish I, now that I know where you're at, I'm going to come see you or something. But they were telling me that it could have been game issue. And I'm like, no, I was told when I won this, I won it at a raffle at Elk Grove Baseball at Schaumburg Flyer Stadium, that it was game worn, and there's stains on the neck, like maybe some of the oil he might have had in his hair, and stains on the sleeve, and it's got a C on it for captain. So I think it was 2000.
Sammy Sosa was captain. I don't remember him being captain. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I know. No, it's okay. And it's been in a frame ever since I've gotten it.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you know,
cool.
Mint condition.
And I would think actually game worn stuff of Sosa is probably held value better than a lot of his other stuff, which is dropped in value. Wouldn't you think, Bill, if it truly is a game worn jersey, that would still do well?
Yeah. Does it have the set tag number in it?
Yes, it does.
It does. It'll say a year and a set one or set two or something like that. Those are and. You know, and if it's also got the tag on the back of that, which will say like, oh, G63 or something along those lines, which is the game, which is the players' jerseys as opposed to the ones you buy at a Sports Authority or something.
Yeah, let me give me a second. I'll tell you the tag numbers if you want to know. But I mean, I took pictures of it and. Let's see.
Well, yeah, if you can actually.
It's 2148001. That's on the inside collar of the back of the neck. So, I know that question comes down to was it game worn or game issued, but I know, I mean, how do you prove that? And I guess, you know, that's what I'm
talking
about.
That's very hard to do. It is. It's one of those, it's kind of like the duck theory. If it looks like a duck and acts like a duck, it's probably a duck. So
that's where the MLB authentication now has gone beyond a doubt on items like that. If they have authenticated a jersey, you know, that and it has it's in the MLB database, then you know that's real. But before that or other items, it's kind of it can be vague. And you don't you, Bill, if you're not 100% certain, you have to list it as game issued with possible game use or something like that. I mean, if you don't have guaranteed
yeah.
game use, you really can't list it that way.
Yeah, we also have a gentleman, Dave Medema, is out of Chicago, who does virtually all of our modern-day authentication for jerseys for our auction. Dave has probably the best database on Cubs and White Sox that rather than anybody as far as finding out whether or not it would pass.
Oh, okay.
Sort of all of his tests anyway, that it would gain more, you know. And if it does, then, hey, you know, they look at stitching and the wear on that and the stretching of the stitching and all sorts of different factors go into deciding whether it was, you know, has all the trademarks of game use. And certain players have certain characteristics, whether they have the thing tailored to fit their body style or something like that specifically. So that's all documented and can be verified.
Well, would you want pictures from Bruno first of all the tags and as many pictures as possible, or would you want him to bring it into T-Crown and we just ship it to you? Or how would you want to work that if he wants to auction
it
in November?
I certainly would not want it in the frame, you know.
Yeah.
He says it's framed. We would definitely, if he's interested in selling this through our auction, we would certainly want it out of the frame. And then I would just get it to Dave Medina and let him know what the results were. And from there, we could formulate a game plan.
All right. So keep that in mind,
okay,
Bruno. And if you want to bring it into T-Crown or send Bill pictures and whatever, but I would suggest, it sounds like it, you need his guy to look it over. So I would suggest if you really want to sell it in November, bring it in and we'll ship it. And
how would he contact Dave, Bill?
Well, Bill would give it to him if Bill gets
okay
the jersey.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go through us today.
Gotcha.
All right, very good, Bruno.
So next step is to come down to T-Crown.
Yeah, Triple Crown in Naperville, 630-357-7707. Call me first just to make sure the day's good, and we'll set it up.
All right, thank you.
All right, very good. Well, we're coming up to time for another short break here. Vince, unfortunately, doesn't have his rip card to open, so we'll have to wait till next week. But the number here is 312-332-3776. We're giving away a box of Upper Deck Inscriptions football, which ERC Delivery will deliver at no charge to the winner. You can call us, or you can tweet me an item, a picture of an item, at T-Crown Tom. If we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. So hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. 312-332-3776 is the number. Huggins and Scott Auctions, the next auction is in November. In the August auction, lots of great stuff. You can go to HugginsandScott.com and see what a lot of their stuff did in the August auction. You can also search their auction archives. If there's something that you think might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, search their archives see if there's something similar and what it maybe did in the past. A couple things, like, it's not only cards. There was a Moose Scourer in 1961 World Series bat with no evidence of game use. So that's the type of thing where game issued, no evidence of game use, but the people know what it is. $1,600 that bat still went for. Then there was a 1960 Jackie Robinson signed check in a framed display. A lot of times when you have an autograph, if you frame it with a photo, it looks really good. It's a nice wall hanging. That went for $1,200, which leads me into reminding everybody we have a new advertiser on our show, Art and Frame in Naperville. The number there, Agatha, is the person you want to speak with, 630-355-0703. She's framed some items for me, got to talking, and she's an advertiser on her show. Great to deal with. If you have anything you want to get framed, check with Agatha at Art and Frame in Naperville. And we've got Superman Todd is on the line. What's up, Superman?
Look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
The only caller in Chicago that has his own intro.
Morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
I'm calling in actually for a ball my dad had. He already sent it off to PSA. And the 1970 Pirates team signed ball. I wish it was a 71, but it's a 70.
Oh, well, you still, how good's the Clemente on there?
Overall, the whole ball is pretty good. There's a slight yellowing to it. I mean, very slight, but everything is pretty bold. And the only reason we figured out it was a 70 is because Johnny Jeter's on there.
Johnny Jeter. Boy, that I don't even remember that name. I guess he was only on for a little while in 1970. I knew the Pirates pretty well, but that's a name I don't know that well. Well, how bold is the Clemente on there?
It's pretty good. If just the Clemente was graded by itself, it'd probably be a 6 or 7.
Okay, what do you think, Bill? That's probably over a grand, right, for a Pirates team ball from 70?
Yeah, just would depend, you know, on how many signatures are on the ball. Is it on an official National League ball? And
yeah, it's on a National League ball, and there's 27 signatures on there.
Wow, that's good.
Oh, wow. That's home run and home run there. I mean, yeah, you're looking at 1,000, maybe as much as 1,500, you know,
yeah.
I would think.
Be a fun one to see what it does in an auction, that's for sure. Next on the line, we have Lenny from Orland Park. What's new, Lenny? What do you have?
Hey, guys. I've got Patrick Kane's Game News Stick from this year, a direct letter from Troy Parchman, the Hawks. And, you know, my biggest question is, you know, now that he's tainted again, and, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, like even Roger Clemens and these guys, it seems like, you know, the part of the hobby that, you know, now what do I do with Kane's stick? And, you know, I didn't buy it for an investment, but I surely wanted the value to go up on it. Now it's just very, very difficult to stomach things that go in this hobby with collecting. And now I hold Kane's stick. And
well, that's not something you can really blame on the hobby, what Patrick Kane did or didn't do, you know, off the ice. That's not really anything to do with the hobby. That's a human error or whatever that may have been made, a crime that may have been committed. And you don't know what the value of his stuff will be until everything comes out, what actually happened there. If it's, you know, if he ends up in jail, then obviously his stuff's going to really tank and you're stuck with something there. But that's always the risk you have collecting anything of any living human being, because you never know what that person might do. You have to hope they're as good as what you hope they might be, but that is, there's always a risk. If the guy's still alive, they can screw up. That's human nature. So
yeah, it goes back to like with the Clemens thing. I mean, a huge Clemens fan, and all of a sudden, you know, he's 10, and then, you know, the Bonds and the Pete Roses, and it gets to, it's just really, really difficult to stomach at times.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You don't know. You know, you don't know everything about a guy. You don't know what they're doing when they're not on the field. You don't know. They might seem like a good guy and they're not, or sometimes they don't seem like a good guy and turns out they really are. You just don't know. But yeah, that is always a risk if you're collecting things of living human beings, though. There is the potential. And all I can tell you is right now I wouldn't sell that item. You have to hope things work out well for him, and it turns out, you know, he was set up or whatever. Hopefully, from a collecting standpoint, hopefully that's what turns out with that. Wouldn't you agree, Bill? I mean, there's no way in the world you'd want to sell any Patrick Kane items right now.
No. Same with all the steroid boys. It's just kind of on hold right now.
Yeah, it seems like it. It does seem like the guys who have admitted to their steroid use have snapped back faster price-wise than the guys who don't admit it, but everybody thinks they did it. Don't you agree with that?
And you know what?
Pete Rosestuff still sounds like he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, except for his autographs, because he signed 8 billion of them. But yeah, you're right, the cards and the memorabilia does.
And I think what helps those guys who were supposedly on, you know, doping up was A-Rod having such a good season this year. that clearly he's not doing it now, but he's having a great,
well, you
great,
hope
powerful
he's not.
Year.
Who knows?
He's over 40, but
I mean, really, who knows
helps.
For sure?
I guess,
wouldn't it be if he was doing it again now? Then his stuff would be. Then that would be the final throws for it. I think.
But at least it demonstrates that he has the ability. He had it without needing any steroids.
He's
or anything
having
else.
A really good
and,
year.
Yeah, it's good to see. From
and
that
isn't
standpoint.
He 40 at his age? It really is something.
That's right.
Now we have guys who come into Triple Crown in Naperville with items, and I was starting to talk about this earlier. Joe from Joliet, and this ties in with hockey and game use sticks and all this stuff. Joe's got a lot of stuff, but one of the things he brought in was a Dennis Hall 1967 Blackhawks signed stick. So it's a team signed stick. He thought it might have been Dennis Hall game used, but I don't think it was game used. I think it might have been the model. Like, I've seen other guys with this Northland type stick that were used in the 60s, but this had a Blackhawks stamp on the blade, and I'm thinking it probably wasn't used. Bill, the value of that, a team signed thing, I was thinking if it was for sure game used, Dennis Hall wasn't Bobby Hall, but it would probably be over a grand, but not game used. I don't, maybe more in the, I don't know, 500 range. Is that what you're thinking, or would you want?
I think you're right on there with your estimates on that. You know, as far as you need to kind of see the clarity of the signatures and everything like that. Team signed hockey sticks are very, very different from team signed footballs and baseballs because they're just, it's what you're signing. It's long and skinny, and it's hard to really see all the signatures. Whereas, like on a football or a baseball, there you can almost hold it in your hand and see what you need to see. So
yeah, it doesn't display as well as other team signed items because you can't even. It's hard to get the. If you get the whole thing into a picture, it's really thin and hard to make it out. So, but another thing that he had that I think personally could be really good is he had 300 George Brace, or about 300 original negatives.
Wow.
And he had one, he said, that was Lou Gehrig with two, like, nice-looking younger women where he was standing next to them. And Babe Ruth was in the background, and I don't know if he titled it this, but he said, yeah, it was Lou with the three babes.
Oh, cool.
So, and he said he had some Hall of Famers. Now, is that something that you would want to auction, maybe break it up into certain little lots, or is that something that you wouldn't be interested in a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill?
No, I would certainly be interested in seeing the items. I think we had spoken about this, and the first thing he probably needs to do is have some of these negatives developed into pictures.
Yeah, especially the big ones.
Yeah, the bigger names. Somebody needs to spend some serious time going through this, and I don't know if I guess you can get one of those little machines that you can feed the negatives into, and it's lit up, and you can kind of see better than trying to just hold it up to the light.
Yeah. So if he developed a few of them and wanted to ship them to you as a lot, you think that would be a good lot?
Oh, I would say we have lots and lots of buyers for George Brace photos.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I've seen some of them sell, and you know, some of them the negatives will only sell for $20 or $30. Some you might have a lot that sells for $50, but I've seen some that sell high, like over $1,000 for one. Why that happens sometimes you're not quite sure, but I think it would be interesting to see how it would do, and it would be fun to see how you ended up breaking that up too, Bill. It would be like a puzzle to get out there and sell it correctly.
Oh, we do that with lots of collections. It is like putting a puzzle together.
Yeah, we want to get it so it's just right to try to get the most auction money that you can get for it. So now we have Zali. Is that correct? Zali from West Rogers Park?
Yeah, Zali.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have a 1999 Jordan's Last Shots upper deck. It has the floor wood from that game and a description of the shots and everything.
Is it serial numbered?
Serial numbered.
Yeah, like to 100 or something like
no.
that? Huh.
But is it signed? Is it signed?
Signed, no.
No, not signed. So it's a piece of floor card from 1999 Upper Deck. And I guess they're saying it's the floor from the last shot he took, that famous shot.
In Utah.
Yeah, so what do you think that might be? Some of his floor cards sell $50 to $75. If there's nothing out of the ordinary about it without seeing it, I think probably in that range, at least probably $50. And then it just depends. Low-numbered stuff from the 90s can go for a lot of money, which I got an email from Brian, and I think I tweeted this a week or so ago. This is an interesting thing with the Jordan serial numbered stuff from the 90s. Okay, he had a BGS 9.5, I believe it was a 1999 Jordan Athlete of the Century gold card, number 47 of 50. Now, if this had been a PMG card, you know, one of those where there's like, say, 200 different guys in the set, Jordan's one of them, and you had the PMG serial numbered to 50, that's probably thousands for that card. This one, all the cards are Jordan. So it's easier to get a Jordan gold numbered to 50, and it still will be a good card. It would be interesting to see what a 9.5 goes for. I think he was going to put it on eBay. It could only be 100 to 2, but it might do better for a Jordan collector, but it won't do anywhere near as well as the ones where Jordan is just one of a group in a set. Does that make sense, Bill, what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. The low numbered stuff is certainly, it's a lot more than the, and it also depends on how many were issued.
Right. I think this was a 100-card set, all Jordan, so everything in it is Jordan's,
yep.
And then they had parallels that were numbered. But now, it doesn't hurt getting a 9.5 on the grade of it also.
Oh.
And, you know, and then you look at the population report, and let's say there's been 30 of that particular card have already been graded, and that's the only 9.5, then you're looking bigger money. If there have been 5 graded and 4 got 9.5s, then it helps it, but it doesn't help it as much. All that stuff factors in to the values when people are debating how hard it is to get it and how much they want to spend.
And on those PMGs, it's hard to get a 9+.
Oh, yeah.
The edges on that.
The,
you know,
chipping.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of chipping on them. That's right. As a matter of fact, I saw one recently. I think it was a green from the 90s, and it had a lot of chipping on it, but that still sold for a lot of money.
Yep.
The greens are to 10, and they go for a lot of money. That stuff, I mean, Bill, do you ever see anybody with any of that 90s unopened basketball stuff that had those, like the serial number Jordan and Kobe stuff from the late 90s? That stuff seems to have disappeared. I can never find it. It'd be fun to crack it open, but it must be really expensive at this point if it even is around.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that lately, exactly. I don't know. It's got to be somewhere, but you're right. It hasn't been surfacing recently.
No, there was even something, I think it was called like Fleer Circa or CIRCA, and they had, it was cheap when it came out, but they had serial numbered Jordan stuff, these Circa rave cards or something, and those go for a lot of money, but you can't find those things. Wouldn't that be
fun?
They're
going to turn up somewhere.
They've
got to,
somebody's got to be sitting on some of those, because they had to have made a fair amount of them in the 90s. The Fleer.
Yeah, I know Vince wants to open more of it. If
sure, absolutely. I'm in.
No, Vince would put it up in his closet, never open it.
Not possible.
Yeah. I wish we had a ripping sound for that rip card. When
I'd say I'd bring the rip card in next week,
but
I'm
never
not going to make it that long.
No,
I won't.
No. Well, you can post a picture maybe on Twitter, and we'll be able to look at it.
Maybe
that
I could
way
do
then.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or send it to me and I'll post it. Well, we're already at the end of another crazy, wacky show that we have every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions, you're in. What show are you at in New York right now?
We're at the East Coast National in Westchester County in White Plains, New York.
Okay, so if you're in New York listening online, you can go see Bill there. And it's time to do the drawing now, Vince.
This week's winner is going to be Bruno from Geneva. So, Bruno, email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. Send me your address, and I will deliver it to you free of charge.
And it's an Upper Deck Inscriptions football box is the prize, yes. So that's good.
Yep. That's some cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I like the autographs in there, right? A guy opened one at T-Crown this week, got a Todd Gurley autograph to 49. Be interesting to see how healthy he is. And now I can't wait for football. I really can't.
Me too. Bridgewater looked great last night. I know we're at the end, so I'll shut up. But yeah. Bridgewater looked really good last night.
The Vikings could be good this year. If Peterson's Peterson, the old Peterson, they could be really good.
Yep.
Okay, and I think that fantasy football show is going to be starting maybe first week in September, so...
Yeah, I believe it starts in 3 weeks here.
All right, very good. They'll follow us. Well, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on next Sunday.